It's Tuesday, July 18th. I'd like to call the Policy and Strategy Committee meeting to order and begin by acknowledging that we are in the ancestral and unceded territory of the Mi'kmaq people. Are there any announcements, acknowledgements, or recognition? No? Councillor Bell?
I do want to say that this past week, the community of Pleasantville and the community of Conquerall Bank both lost firefighters with 50 years service. Former Chief Robert Hahn passed away, and in the community of Conquerall Bank, it was, believe it or not, a lady that had 55 years service, Frances Frazier, and she was a registered medical first responder, which is also unusual for a lady of her age. She was very devoted. These are two people that the communities will miss, and this also shows the trend that we have been shown where a lot of the long-time valuable members are getting to the point where they will be passing on and or unable to perform their duties, and the younger generation isn't coming in to fill the ranks. But these two people I consider very notable to our communities. Thank you.
Thank you. Condolences to the families. Are there any other acknowledgements, announcements, or recognition? Okay. No public input. We need approval of the agenda, please.
So moved.
Councillor Moore, seconded by Councillor Vino. All those in favor? Motion's passed unanimously. Approval of the minutes of May 16th. Councillor Haysom, second. Councillor DeLong, all those in favor? Motion's passed unanimously. So we are going to go right down to staff reports 9.1, amendments to MODL policy 058. Fees. And I believe this is our Deputy CAO, Alex DeMera.
Yes, so this is a little bit of a housekeeping item for Council, given that you've already completed second reading of your water supply financing bylaw. It's a small amendment, two small amendments actually, to your fees policy. And this is the fee that will be paid by the participating homeowner. It's actually included in the loan itself, and we're proposing that the fee be set at $250. This is the same rate, as you can see, as the rate charged for participants in the Clean Foundation Program for clean energy financing. The only difference between the two is that the clean energy financing currently has a grant associated with it, which covers an additional $400 of administrative costs. We're proposing that the other $400 be paid out of your temporary water relief program for any homeowners that participate in it. So if council's in favor, we have a motion here for you to give 7 days notice of your intention to amend the fees policy, and then you will have the motion to approve it next Tuesday. Just by way of administrative information, we have been working with the Clean Foundation. We have the contract approvals in place now, and we're working on marketing and website materials, so we should be able to launch that program. All the pieces should be in place by the end of this month, and we're looking at launching in August.
Excellent. Do we have any questions? Councillor Staton?
Thank you. It's for Alex, if I might. So the $400, the money in the well program is $20,000, am I right? Or was it 10? I forget. Anyway, the majority of the wells cost about $10,000 to drill.
Yep.
So that's what I'm looking to see, how many wells we could possibly drill and what the cost would be overall if we're providing the $400 in credits to have to the applicant.
Maximum cost would be $20,000. We have $50,000 in the budget. And then these fees would actually come out of the temporary water financing program. So there's $10,000 available there annually. When we do have to run it, we normally spend about $5,000. So there should be ample funds available to cover those administrative costs, even if we get a large volume for signing up, which we don't necessarily anticipate.
Thank you.
Any other questions? I have one. Does this mean that we're waiving the fee, that it's we're covering the cost?
It means we're providing a partial subsidy because there's no grants available for the well financing.
Partial?
Yep.
Okay. Okay. Councillor Vino, are you prepared to put that motion on the floor?
Certainly. Thank you. To the Chair and members of the Policy and Strategy Committee, I move that the Policy and Strategy Committee recommend to Council that Municipal Council accept the proposed amendments to Policy 058, Fees as Presented, and hereby gives 7 days' notice of its intention to approve the proposed amendments at the July 25th, 2023 Council meeting, and I so move.
Seconder? Councillor Haysom, is there discussion on the motion? Okay, question? All those in favor? Motion's passed unanimously. So we're going to move down to 9.2.1, Public Survey on Local Food Security. Abby Jane, Climate Change and Sustainability Manager.
Good morning, everyone. This project is about local food security that we have begun working on. Will Planning Department is working with the Economic Development Department as there is a lot of overlap on the project. So this memorandum serves as information to the council about the upcoming survey that the staff will be conducting on local food security. And the survey will be conducted from the period of July 18 to up until August of 8th. And the purpose of the survey is to gather essential information and provide support for the local food security initiatives that are both in line with our local climate change action plan 2030 and also the recently approved economic development strategic action plan 2023-2028. So to give you a little bit of background in relation to the local climate change action plan 2030, in November of 2022, municipality adopted the official climate action plan, which includes supporting local food security as one of its commitments. And the goal is to develop strategies and programs that would help us to improve access to and increase the production of local food. And by 2030, the goal of that action was to ensure that 20% of residents are buying locally. But the problem with that was we don't really know what our current consumption levels are. So what is happening right now? So that is the intent, to begin working on that and to draw a baseline and to understand what the current consumption situation is. In relation to the Economic Development Strategy Action Plan, perhaps Mark can guide us through. The Strategy Action Plan also entails to supporting agricultural sector and about the food hub. Mark, do you want to take over?
Sure. You want to do phase one first, and I'll talk about phase two, and I can include it all in?
Sure. That works too. So the whole project will be divided in two phases, where phase one will be focused at the residential and also as well as the consumer side, and the phase two will be focused at the primarily on the producer side. In the Economic Strategic Action Plan, one of the actions that was highlighted was the finding avenues to explore if there could be a possibility of developing a food hub in our municipality, and the food hub that can act as a centralized facility that would enable the municipality to connect farmers, producers, and consumers. It can provide a platform for farmers to collaborate and share resources that will eventually lead to increased production and offer a diverse range of local food options. So in the phase one, what will happen is when the survey begins, there will be two surveys that will be administered. One will be targeting the general public, and the second one will be focusing on the businesses, which will include schools, restaurants, grocers, retailers, and institutions. In regards to our engagement plan, we will be conducting 2 online surveys. We will be setting up 4 pop-up stations at local farmers markets, and we'll promote the surveys through municipalities' website, Modal Messenger, and Facebook. And post-August, we'll move on to the phase 2. Perhaps Mark can explain better on that one.
So, first of all, I'll say it's a nice synergy between the Economic Development Department and the Planning Department. Abby's doing the surveys for food security. I'll be looking at the supply and demand of it, and then Reed and his group are looking at, from MODL 2040, the uses of agricultural land and all that. So I think it's a really good multi-dimensional project within the departments. So phase 2, basically, like Abby said, phase 1, you're basically looking at market demand for local food and food security. Phase 2 is more on the other side of it, is because we want to be comprehensive. We want to know what's out there in the market. Is there a demand for it? Is there supply for it? So our phase 2 is basically we're looking at supply and distribution of the market, of that local food market. So we'll be working with the Department of Agriculture. We have a co-op student who will be working directly with the farmers to find out what is out there. So we'll understand what the gaps are within that market, what the opportunities are within that market. Is there partnerships we can do with the Department of Agriculture with the ultimate goal of maybe looking at having a local food hub here, which in turn will help the small-scale agricultural business grow. So they'll have a distribution point or a market point to bring their products. Maybe they're not large enough to sell direct to a larger consumer or a retail market or an institution. This food hub will aggregate things together so they can look at having several farms put their products in to go to a bigger market. And that will help with, GHG reductions, you know, that short chain distribution center. I mean, right now, because of COVID, a lot of businesses are looking at having that supply chain within an hour, and hopefully that will happen here. And what the end goal is at the end of the day is to help that small-scale farmer grow their business and have a market, either through our local food markets or through a food hub. If we identify there's a need for that, we can look at that even further. And again, it's aligning with the provinces, buy local. 20% of buy local, every consumer buy local for, their area by 2030. So that's kind of what we're looking at. We're going from A to Z for this project.
I love this project. Are there any questions? Councillor Oikle?
Thank you very much. And through you, I have some questions. So I'm in a little bit about phase 1 and the engagement plan. So the first part of the gauge, the one survey is for me, right? For a person like me. And but if I'm not online or on the municipal website or I don't get the Modal Messenger and I'm not a big fan, Facebook fan, how am I going to find out about it? That's one question. Then my other question is regarding the businesses. I don't know how many businesses, while they're working, are going to be looking at the Modal website, the Modal Messenger, or the Facebook to find out about that survey. I would suggest that perhaps a letter actually going out to each of those businesses, restaurants, the schools, the institutions, letting them know, or even giving them the survey in the letter and asking them, even with a return stamped envelope, something to encourage them to send it back to us.
That is exactly what we are doing. To answer the question one, we, besides our online survey that we have posted, we'll try all we could do to have the in-person response as well. So people who may not have access to website, we will have our surveys, printed copies to all the council members at the front desk, what we usually do for all of our other public engagement surveys too. And then there will be opportunities at pop-up stations to fill out the handouts survey in person. They could do that too if they don't want to fill it online through their website. In regard to second question, as I mentioned, we have shortlisted about 100 businesses that we will be directly reaching out to. So we will send them all a mass email with the survey included, to be able to fill out and submit it back to us.
And the other thing is we have two pop-up sessions that four pop-up sessions.
Okay. Yes.
Yes, I did see that four at local farmers markets. Is it possible to, in with those letters, actually do put in a return envelope with a stamp on it so that they can then pop that right back into the mail again from those businesses?
I think, yes, we certainly could take that route, but like because we are in very initial stages, we would want to experiment with our like emailing first to see how much response we get. In subsequent phases, if we feel we haven't got adequate response from all the businesses, we would happy to take that route and physically emailing them because it takes up a lot of time and efforts to physically send them mail to all the businesses. So we'll stick to personally emailing them because we have their contact info, we have their emails. Economic Development Department has done a good job in creating like a data set for all the businesses. So we'll use that in the first initial stages. But if at certain point we feel like we're not really getting enough response, we'll try other alternatives.
Yep. The reality of it is it's going to be a long-term project. It's not going to happen within 12 months. We're, you know, by the time we get the data and we'll be evaluating, you know, what our gaps, what we missed, what we can do better, and what we can do, you know, more, a little more thorough job, because there may be themes we need to explore even further. We just don't know yet.
Councillor DeLong.
Thank you very much, Chair. Through you, first I'd like to applaud staff for prioritizing local food security. I really like the component of GHG reduction, as well as the fact that you're looking at collaborating with farmers and local producers, as well as the province. Do we know what percentage of agricultural land is available in MODL? Sorry to make you jump.
No, no problem. Good morning, everyone. We don't have, we can't just look at land alone, so there's other factors like the topography or the land, like the parcel sizes. But I think, as Mark mentioned, the information that's gained through this will help and can help inform the decision making that happens as part of 2040. So whether there's, when it comes to things like protecting agricultural land and for what reasons, or whether that land is appropriate for different types of products, they may identify certain markets or certain producers that are looking for certain aspects of land or increasing demand for things, then that can help inform some of the decisions around protection from land or also maybe separation of uses and things like that as part of 2040.
We can also explore that with the Department of Agriculture. They may have data that they'll share with us. We have a group meeting next week that we're going to sit together. So there may be some information even further. It's going to be a little more robust that we can even detail this a little bit better.
I think that one component you may want to explore with local producers is how difficult it is to hire and keep locals right now and what supports they need to maintain foreign workers as well, because that is also a huge component in food production at this moment. Just a quick follow-up question, if I may. So we're looking at a food hub. Is this something that we've been following other areas that have already, you know, blazed the trail on this? Do we know of any other jurisdictions that are doing this?
Yes, we have. There's 4 to 5 food hubs in the province of Nova Scotia. The South Shore is really the only region that doesn't have one. So I've been in contact, and Abby and I are going to take a tour with Aiden in August to the Station Food Hub. And that's kind of one of the flagship ones, one of the first ones in the province that they've utilized in Old School in Newport, taking it over and basically using it as a distribution center. But they've also added value-added products. So they're using seconds of potatoes. They're processing them, freezing them, and selling them through a wholesaler, a frozen food wholesaler, into long-term care. And there could be opportunities for us to do that here.
That's fantastic. Thank you very much.
Mayor Bellaver-Getson.
Thank you, and this is an exciting project, and I like to see when multi-departments come together on an initiative. It seems to be very successful when that happens, and I hear the excitement in your voices as you're moving this project forward. So that's great to hear. The food hub concept is something that I definitely support. I've seen it work. It's great to finally look at something like this for the South Shore. So I look forward to the work coming forward in the phases, and definitely know it's going to be a successful event.
Do we have any other questions? Okay. Excellent. Thank you. We will move down to 10.1, Student Safety Along Highway 208, New Germany, and this is Councillor Moore.
Thank you. I've had a request from resident on School Street, on the corner of School Street and 208, as you can see in the picture, that a crosswalk be installed somewhere around that area with a flashing light. That these schools have been there for years. We don't know where the new school is going to go yet. Well, at least I don't know. And what has happened, that most of the residents that were in this area over the years that the school was there were did not have school-age children walking to school from those houses. And since COVID, we've had a lot of new families move in the area and with small children. So these people are reaching out and asking me if we could somehow find out if we could have a crosswalk on School Street or a flashing light or both. And that's about it. I'm not asking for sidewalks.
Okay. Do we have any questions for Councillor Moore? Mayor Bellaver-Getson?
Not a question. I just see that it's a flashing light we're asking for, not flashing lights with an S in the motion, just so that it's...
Oh, yeah, one.
It would be a flashing light over the highway, similar to what they would have at intersections. Yeah. And it definitely is the intersection of this road. So this isn't the sidewalk scenario. This is the... And again, I believe they said the completion of the school for 2027.
Which means
29. Probably a year plus after that date. Yeah. And the school selection committee, whether or not they use those schools, but it's usually the first thing they do look at when they're looking to build a new school is whether one or the other school would be adequate to house a new school. So I think the safety of the students is important to...
And I'm hoping...
I got a howl.
I know. I am hoping that when they do this selection of the school site that and start building the new school, that the province does realize that safety is a big concern. It's always been a big concern. And that they look at sidewalks wherever they're going to be placing the new school. And also, it would be nice... We do have crosswalks in New Jersey. We have one, two, three that has not been painted for... years, and it would be nice if they were installing that they would in painting a new sidewalk that they would paint the old crosswalks because I think it's in our budget every year. I'll ask Stephen for a painting of crosswalks. It would be nice if that I could I don't have to include that in the motion. I can just make that phone call. So
do we have any other questions for Councillor Warren? Are you prepared to put... Sorry, one second. Councillor Bell?
A question to the Deputy CEO, who would probably have the answer. Would it be our expectation that the province would ask us to fund this request? It seems to me that when we requested an earlier crosswalk in New Germany, that we... paid to have it done. I'm not speaking against the request. I just don't want any councillor to be surprised if this has a cost with it. So maybe you can just answer that just so newer councillors who haven't done crosswalks yet would know that there's a cost.
Okay. I'm actually not well prepared to answer that question this morning. I did notice these items on the agenda. There are certain items that the province will pay for if there's sufficient traffic, talking about things like intersection lights, There are other items that they look to the municipality to either fund the capital or the operating for. And I've asked engineering staff to look into whether or not there's anything specific. But it does appear that sometimes they make their decisions based on requests from local councils, and then they sometimes charge and sometimes don't. Mm-hmm. It looks like Kathy might have something to add.
Yeah. Well, in my experience over the years, if a crosswalk was asked for, the Department of Infrastructure, Department of Transportation, whatever they're called now, do install it. It's basically some paint, some white paint with some crosses in it, and it's not a lot of cost to it. And then over the years, the budget, our budget always through engineering, I think, always had money in it for repainting of those crosswalks. And we have to request the DOT to do them. That was my experience all along. I don't know if it's anything different.
I'll just jump in. We just saw the items on the agenda this morning, so we were scrambling a little bit. We did have Jamie did talk to Mitchell Conrad this mm-hmm. morning, area manager, just mm-hmm. to get a little bit of an update. And apparently he is aware of both. He is aware of the request for that.
Oh,
and,
yeah. And yeah.
So he asked that the engineering department make a request mm-hmm. if we want to move forward with a study, and then they'll actually do a traffic study in
yes.
the area
yeah.
and assess it. And I think some of their concerns are not having sidewalks coming mm-hmm. up to it and putting a crosswalk, mm-hmm. Particularly where there's really narrow shoulders.
Right.
And yeah. that's been their concern.
Yeah.
So
I understand that, too.
Yeah. So but we would have to pay for it and maintain.
Yeah.
So that's...
Right.
So if that's yeah. helpful.
Okay, do we have any other questions or comments? Councillor Moore, would you like to put that motion on the floor?
Actually.
Okay, go ahead.
I do have a question because it would relate then to also to mine. Is there, having the lights is one thing, and then having something painted I want to say tarmac, but that's not the right word, on the road, is another thing. So I'm just wondering, would we be considered having to pay for both the lights and the painting on the road, or is it just the painting on the road and we don't have to pay for lights?
And it's preliminary right now, but I think the assumption I had is that we would be paying and maintaining both.
Okay, Councilman.
So the new lights that have been installed, where was the latest one?
I think that we're mixing two okay. different things here.
Yeah.
It's okay. 325 where you're talking about, but I think these are two separate items altogether.
Okay, understood.
Okay. Yeah.
To the chair and members of the Policy Strategy Committee, I move that Policy Strategy Committee recommend to council that Municipal Council write a letter to the provincial minister responsible for public works, Kim Maslin, requesting a crosswalk to be located on School Street, and further that a flashing light be installed on the corner of Highway 208 and School Street in New Germany. And I so move.
Do we have a seconder? Councillor Bell? Any discussion on the motion? Question? All those in favor? Motion's passed unanimously. So now we will move down to 10.2, pedestrian safety along Highway 325, Wildville, and that's Councillor Oichel.
Yeah, and I wanted to bring this to your attention because at the intersection of Highway 325 and Logan Road and William Wild Road, we've known that there is, you know, a motor vehicle safety issue, but there was also a pedestrian safety issue at the same time. And the province did agree with the motor safety issue, and they have installed the traffic lights at the intersection, which has greatly helped the safe flow of the traffic in this area. However, there are no pedestrian crossing lights at this time at this intersection. Pedestrians crossing lights at traffic lights add a measure of safety for pedestrians, especially in such a busy rural intersection. There are numerous residents who travel by walking, bike, motorized cars, and even walkers to Bridgewater trying to cross the road at this intersection when motorists are wanting to make turns
on and off of Highway 325. Adding the cross lights will assist the residents to know when it is safe to walk across, and these lights will also let motorists know that there is someone wanting to cross the road and that they need to wait before turning. And it's very concerning, very concerning.
Councillor Bell?
Hi. When I look at this particular request, I look at it slightly different than the one that involved school children near a public school. The motion that is possibly pending reads, requesting pedestrian lights be installed. I would rather ask Public Works to study the number of population of walkers that want to cross there before asking for the lights themselves to get a better grasp on it. The pedestrian lights could be $100,000. I would like to feel confident when I was passing an expenditure like that there was sufficient data to support the need for the lights there. Again, that is an area that doesn't have sidewalks yet, but it is a four-way intersection. I do appreciate that. We had to wait 10 or 15 years to get lights. We may have to wait a little bit longer to get pedestrian lighting to go enhance that intersection. But I myself would prefer to request them to do a study so that we are better prepared, because unlike a single flashing light, these lights could easily run $100,000. So, thank you.
Mayor Mulligan-Getson.
Thank you. And I hate to correct you, Councillor Bell, but it's 25 years that we've been trying to get a set of traffic lights at this intersection, and we finally were successful in doing that. This is a different road. There is a lot of truck traffic still. I know there's a new exit going in, but there is a lot of truck traffic. There's a large population congregated in Victoria Ridge. And Victoria Ridge, they tend to walk or take the electric scooters. And there are a lot of people on scooters. And I mean like wheelchair-type scooters coming down the road. Now, having said that, there are no paved shoulders for walkers. It's actually, I believe, paved trenches on the one side for water runoff on the one side of the road, so it's not even safe to get off the road with a scooter, so the scooter has to stay on the road. At some point, I recognize that there will be sidewalks and there will be probably paved shoulders before that, because the population growth will be there for that. I have no problem with asking the question for a pedestrian light, but there is no flashing green light on these lights, which means that I believe the traffic rule of thumb is that green means walk and the red means stop for pedestrians when there's no flashing green. I don't know if everybody recognizes that, but that is how the traffic lights, they're supposed to work. So a pedestrian light to nowhere kind of scares me too. We're telling them to walk across the road into what I see as, like I said, they're paved trenches for the water runoff between Logan and the 103 on that side. So there's a safety concern there alone. If that road is being upgraded from there up through, it's definitely a road we need to put paved shoulders on, no question. And it would go hand in hand. But the potential and the ask is in because the lights went up for that. But I think, I don't know what the answer will be coming back, or I think I know before we ask, but I still don't, I will support the ask going in. But I think there's a lot of infrastructure upgrades coming to that section of the highway between there and the 103.
Councillor Eichel?
Just as a note, I have written to the supervisor and requested that the sides of the road be looked at and either fixed up, because a lot of it is chopped off or broken off, and a lot of holes for people, and so they do walk on the main road rather, as the mayor has indicated, and he has said that they will be looking into that.
So I'm just wondering if there's any interest around the table with what Councillor Bell had mentioned about maybe a study before we were to be...
Go ahead. I think it goes hand in hand that what will come back is they will look at a traffic study for that intersection to see that. It typically does. They won't install anything without doing traffic studies and counts at those type of intersections.
Okay, perfect.
That was the whole light thing, and they have did the studies there many, many times because they came back to us many, many times and told us that lights were not warranted in that area.
Okay, perfect. Councillor Bell?
Again, I want to emphasize that I'm not against the motion. I just wanted us to be prepared for other costs that would be involved. I went up and looked at the intersection myself, and I thought, this is a long ways away from being fixed yet, and because of the very reasons that the mayor has indicated, to cross the street to go to nowheres seems to me that there needs to be a lot more work done. You can't even walk in those paved... somebody with a walking disability or even someone who does not have a disability but may be elderly, they would find that very difficult to step off the edge of the highway at a different elevation of about 6 to 8 inches. Just go up and have a look at it yourself. So I wanted to bring to the floor the other things that needed to be considered. Thank you.
I do see the scooters. I drive there multiple times in the run of a day, and there are always scooters on the side of the road, always. Are there any other questions for Councillor Oikle? Okay. Are you prepared to put the motion on the floor?
Yes, I am. Okay. To our chair and members of the Policy and Strategy Committee, I move that the Policy and Strategy Committee recommend to Council that Municipal Council write a letter to the Provincial Minister responsible for Public Works, Kim Madslin, requesting pedestrian lights be installed on Highway 325 at the intersection of Logan Road and William Weil Road in Weilville, and I so move.
Do we have a seconder for that motion? Councillor Haysom? Any discussion on the motion? Councillor Statton?
Thank you. I think both motions should be CC'd to the local MLAs as well.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay. Mayor Bellavergetson?
Well, I'm reading that. I'm wondering if the mover and seconder would letter to the minister requesting pedestrian lights be installed on Highway 325 at the intersection and upgrades to the approaching lights. The sides of the road, because it's impossible to do without doing something else. Or we just leave it. Just leave it. They'll do it when they do.
Okay. Any other discussion on the motion? All those in favor? Motion's passed unanimously. So we don't have any added items. There isn't any in camera. And so we need a motion for adjournment. Mayor Bellavergetson and seconded by Councillor Wynott. All those in favor? Motion's passed unanimously.